As we come on this Father's Day this morning, I want us to look at another secret of Solomon. For the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at living life well. We've been looking at making a plan for our life. And this morning, I want us to look at another one of the steps of successful living as Solomon teaches us from Proverbs chapter 22, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from that. You see, I believe the key to experiencing success in every area of our life is wisdom. Someone said that wisdom is the skill to live your life according to God's pattern and God's design. And the book of Proverbs is a depository of these incredible proverbs, these lessons, these nuggets of wisdom that will help you and me in every area of our lives. We're looking at these extraordinary keys to successful living life. You see, I believe the reason it's important to get this skill called wisdom in life is because Solomon said that wisdom is far more valuable than silver or gold. And let me tell you, the world would say, get all you can and can all you get and sit on the can. But let me tell you, God would say, take what you've canned and reach out and help your fellow man. You see, I believe this morning Solomon gives us some secrets that go against the conventional grain of our modern day worldly wisdom that is so prolific in our world. When man's wisdom would say that once you die, then your influence is no more. God would say, no, that isn't true. Once you die, your influence continues long after you're gone, through your children and through your grandchildren, as well as through the life that you have lived and left behind. The fact is that all of us here this morning, unless we're privileged to be alive when Jesus comes again, every one of us here this morning will die one of these days, according to the Bible. One of these days, all of us will die. And when I think about that, parents will someday have to exit life stage. And that's why it's so important, parents and grandparents, that you give your children and your grandchildren the keys to live life successfully in the days ahead. Someone said, success without succession is failure. Success without succession is failure. And from Proverbs 22, let me give you some keys this morning, seven keys for being a successful father, or being a successful mother, or being a successful grandparent this morning. If you want to be a successful parent or a successful grandparent, I hope you will write these seven things down this morning. And I want to use the word success, S-U-C-C-E-S-S. I want to make an acrostic of those letters to illustrate the point that I'm trying to make for this morning. Successful parents, first of all, see their children as gifts from God. Successful parents see their children as gifts from God. That first letter in the word success, see their children as gifts from God. Let's all be honest. To be a parent, to be a grandparent, certainly can be challenging, amen? It can certainly be frustrating at times, amen? But you see, a successful parent doesn't see their child as some inconvenience. They don't see their child as some type of irritant, but they see their child as an inheritance from Almighty God. You see, there are three things about seeing your child as a gift from God I think that's so important. Number one, children are gifts of real value. In fact, the word gift there, from the New American Standard, it says in Psalm 127, verse 3, behold, children are a gift of the Lord, the fruit of the womb, is a reward. That word gift there from the Hebrew word means an inheritance. It's the same word that was used over in the Old Testament when God promised the nation of Israel that promised land, that inheritance. It was something of real value. And successful parents see their children as gifts from God. They see their children as gifts of real value. But not only do they see them as gifts of real value, they see their children as gifts from which they will one day be held accountable for them. For in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, Paul said to the church at Corinth, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." We preached on that some weeks ago about Christians standing at the judgment seat of Christ to be rewarded for the things that we've done since the day that we were saved. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Why? So that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, whether good or bad. Let me tell you, at that point, we will be evaluated. We will not be condemned, but we will be evaluated by Almighty God for all that he's given to us. In other words, did I do my best as a parent? Did I do my best as a grandparent to impart skills and godly wisdom to my children, to my grandchildren, to help them live life well? Did I impart to them the plan of salvation? Did I impart to them about God's wonderful grace and his unconditional love? You see, successful parents see their children as gifts from God. Their children are gifts of real value. Their children are gifts of which they will someday be held accountable. And thirdly, successful parents see their children not only as gifts of real value and their children as something they will have to someday give an accountable to God for, but successful parents see their children as temporary gifts. They are temporary gifts. One of the hardest things that I've ever had to do as a minister is to be with parents that have lost a child. In fact, I did that this very week in the emergency room for 3 hours with absolutely uncontrollable grief of the loss of a child. Folks, let me tell you, children, the loss of a child, and only those of you that have lost children or young people know the incredible pain and the heartache and the grief that comes with that. Rose Kennedy, John F. Kennedy's mother, Rose Kennedy, who had certainly dealt with grief and sorrow and loss of her children, said it's unnatural for parents to bury their children. And one of the things that I've seen in parents that have lost their children, they're overwhelmed by emotions. But two big emotions that I've seen is, number one, shock. The shock they cannot believe, they cannot comprehend, they cannot conceive in their minds that they will never look upon the face of that child, at least in this present lifetime. That shock then gives way oftentimes to regret over the time that I wish I would have spent more time. I wish that I could have been more to my child. I wish that I could have done thus and so. Let me tell you, your child this morning may never be taken from you prematurely in death, but there will be a time someday that they will leave your home and they will go out into their world and live their various lives. Let me tell you, parents, you only have your kids for a short time. They grow up, they go off to school, they pursue their own interest. I like what author Tim Hansel said. He said that if you are 35 years of age and you should live to be 70 years old, you only have 500 days left. when you subtract the time you spend eating, sleeping, and working? Hansel said, when I put my life into that context, it helps me realize that as a father, that it's so short of time, I dare not take it for granted. You see, to be a successful parent, you first of all need to see your child as a gift from God. Secondly, to be a successful parent, you need to, the you and the word success, understand, accept, and develop your child's own bent. Understand, accept, and develop your child's own bent. That means that you understand how unique your child is, and you begin to seek to develop that uniqueness, and you try to maximize it. Dr. James Dobson says, each child is hand-stitched by the Lord, not mass-manufactured in some sweatshop. Their personality is cut from a unique bolt of cloth, like snowflakes and fingerprints. He says, no two children are alike. Solomon certainly understood that. In fact, listen to what Solomon said in one of the most familiar of all scriptures that deals with children, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, there are lots of people that have read that through the years and they misapply the scripture. And they think, well, if I just grow them up and teach them godly wisdom and godly values, and then they go astray, they will eventually come back to me. But we know the problem with that is not true. They do not always come back. Some kids have been grown up with godly things and godly values and spiritual wisdom and taught in Sunday school and vacation Bible school, and they've sat through church. And we realize that many times they leave and they never return to their faith. So we would ask ourselves the question, God, could you not keep your promise in Proverbs 22, verse 6? Well, let me tell you this morning, God is a promise keeper. The problem here, this scripture that Solomon gives us, he's not speaking here about just instilling right values in your child, although as a parent and as a grandparent, that is part of your responsibility to grow them up and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But the key to understanding what Solomon is saying in this verse is in that phrase, in the way he should go. That can be translated according to the Hebrew to be their natural bent. What does that mean? To train up your child to its natural bent. That means toward their natural inclinations, because when he's an old person, he will still follow those inclinations. Solomon is speaking here about the child's uniqueness. And what he's saying is, if your child is much more cerebral than he or she is athletically, it won't matter how many sporting events you put them into, they're going to always veer off to the academic. If your child is born a leader in the third grade, that child will be a leader whenever they grow up to be an adult. They have that inclination. They have that bent. They have that uniqueness. If your child's bent is toward music, they will always have that inclination and they'll be always drawn to that area of their life through an instrument. Have you ever heard of Tiger Moms? Y'all know who Tiger Moms are, or persistent dads? Those are the go-getter types who press their children into certain areas of discipline. Well, that's okay to be the type of parent that perseveres in trying to encourage your child in those disciplines, but it's wrong if you're trying to lead them to be what you never became in order that you can live your lives through them. And I think there's a lot of kids today that have grown up where their parents expected them to do what they wanted to do and never got to do, and therefore the children never get their own uniqueness and their own natural bent. I want you to listen to what John Maxwell says. In one of his books on leadership, John Maxwell lists 10 questions that every parent or grandparent should ask about their child. Are you ready? Number one, parents, grandparents, what gives my child joy? Number two, who is my child's hero? Number three, what does my child fear the most? Number four, what activities give my child energy? Number five, what activities wear my child out? Number six, if my child got to choose this year's vacation, where would he or she want to go? Number seven, if my child could pick one activity for me to do with him or her, what would it be? Number eight, what kind of music does my child like? Number nine, other than going to school or sleeping, what does my child spend most of his or her time doing each week? And number 10, what does my child want to be when he or she grows up? Parents, grandparents, could you answer those questions this morning about your child, about your grandchild? William Shakespeare, the famous playwright, said, "It's a wise parent who knows his child." Solomon said, "A successful parent understands, knows, accepts, develops, and maximizes their child's unique bent." Thirdly, this morning, a key to successful parenting is the C. And the word success stands for commit to lead their child to Christ. Commit to lead their child to Christ. Young people, perhaps in one of your literature classes, if not, perhaps in college you will. Samuel Taylor Coleridge, the poet, wrote a poem, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner. One of the famous lines in that is, "Water, water everywhere, not a drop to drink." Let me tell you, at his estate there, the English poet Samuel Taylor Coleridge had a visitor one day to come to his house, and while they were talking in their discussion, Coleridge and his visitor got into an argument, and the visitor said, "I do not think it's the right of any parent to interfere or to intervene or to try to acclimate or indoctrinate their child toward religion at all." Samuel Taylor Coleridge, he didn't say a word. He said, "Well, I want you to come out back. I want to show you something in my backyard." They walked out, and Coleridge looked at his visitor, and he said, "I want you to see my garden." The visitor said, "Well, where is it? All I see is a bunch of weeds. It's nothing but a patch of weeds." And Coleridge said, "Well, it used to be a garden until I decided not to interfere and see what it would become." Think about that this morning. Parents, if it is your responsibility to teach your children about Christ and salvation, in Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon encouraged his own children to follow the same spiritual teaching he received from his father. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Solomon said, "When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live.'" Let me tell you, young people, remember who Solomon's mother was? It was Bathsheba. Remember King David of Israel who had a wrongful affair, an adulterous affair with Bathsheba? King David learned the hard knocks of life. In fact, he had a PhD in experiences in life. And he failed many times in his life as a father. But I believe one of the lessons that King David passed on to his son Solomon is this: When you fail, God is ready to forgive you if you ask him. David said in the 32nd Psalm, verse 1 and 2, "How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit." Dads, moms, grandparents, do your kids know how to experience God's forgiveness? You see, successful parents commit to leading their children to faith in Christ. Well, you might say, well, I don't know how to lead my child to faith in Christ. Let me give you three practical ways. Number one, pray for your children's salvation. Those of you that were in Sunday school this morning heard the story of Hannah, how she prayed to God for Samuel, and God gave her that son, and she committed him to the Lord all the days of her life. Let me tell you, pray for your children's salvation. Secondly, be open to their salvation at an early age. For some reason, parents, we bought into the idea that salvation is an adult thing. Let me tell you, in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 3, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." You see, all that a child needs to understand, or all that you and I need to understand, is this: we are all sinners and we need forgiveness. And God came to provide that forgiveness for us. And children understand that. Did you realize that 86% of Christians are saved by the time they reach age 15? 86%. How many of you this morning found Christ before you were 15 years old? Look all over the house this morning. 86%. Of all Christians are saved before the age of 15. Parents, don't ever become discouraged from letting your children come forward and saying, "I want to trust Christ and I want to be baptized." Let me tell you, they're doing the best they can at that age. And if they don't fully understand it, God will speak to their heart down the pike and they will know. But I've watched parents discourage their children saying they're too young. Let me tell you, you're not God. I'm not God. Let me tell you, the Bible says, "And they shall be led by a little child." What else can I do besides pray for them about their salvation? What else can I do besides encourage them at an early age? Third, schedule a time to explain the gospel to your child. Schedule a time to explain the gospel to your child. Fourthly, and I must hurry, the next C in the word success. Successful parents communicate spiritual values to their children. You see, as a parent, your responsibility doesn't end when that child gets saved. In fact, Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 to 23, "My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is light. And reproofs for discipline are the way of life." Parents, if you're trying to raise your children in this godly world, you're going to be suddenly awakened to a godless culture. And you're going to be swimming upstream. Because in the world that you and I live in, all around us, there are views that are contrary to Scripture. What you have to do as a parent is to become proactive in your children's lives and teach them God's words and God's principles. Moses knew how to encourage the Israelites as they would eventually go to the land of promise that was filled with a godless culture of immorality and idolatry. Look what Moses said to them in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Moses said spiritual instruction has to be done diligently, which means intensely and sharply. And then he said, do it every day of their life. Number five this morning, another successful skill. Using the acrostic of success, the E represents exemplify godly character. Exemplify godly character. Let me tell you, some truths are better caught than taught. Amen? Some truths are better caught than they are taught. Number six this morning, the other S there in success, seek to discipline. Successful parents seek to discipline their children consistently. Now, folks, I want you to think about that. Think about where our school systems are today. Think about how kids act today. Think about how there is disrespect for the school teacher. Think how there is disrespect for the family. Think about how your children sass and how they rule the household rather than the parent. Successful parents, according to Solomon here, would say, successful parents seek to discipline their children consistently. Let me give you three principles at play here. First of all, discipline should begin early in life. Proverbs 13, verse 24, Solomon said, he who withholds his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him diligently. That means early in life. Second principle at play, discipline should be tailor-made for the child. There should be both a physical discipline as well as a verbal discipline. Look at chapter 23 of Proverbs, verse 13 and 14. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol. That's an Old Testament word from the grave. Now, wait a minute, parents, before you call Department of Human Services, is Rodney here? Before we call Rodney at the Department of Human Services on the preacher or on Solomon, let me hasten to say, Solomon is not speaking about child abuse. He is not speaking about that at all. Let me tell you, no child should ever be abused. I believe that hell's hottest flames will be turned up for those who are abusive to children. Jesus said, if anyone hurts a child, it would be better that a millstone be tied around his neck and he be cast into the depths of the sea. Solomon is not speaking here about child abuse. He's speaking about appropriate discipline that is done out of love and not out of anger. Then we see a verbal reprove in chapter 29 of Proverbs, verse 17. The word correct. Correct. That is a verbal reprove. Correct your son and he will give you comfort. He will also delight your soul. Let me give you one more principle there about this discipline. Discipline should always be grounded in love. It should always be grounded in love. Proverbs 3, verse 11 and 12. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whoever the Lord loves, he reproves even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. You and I are children of Almighty God. When we go astray, the Bible says he reproves us, he corrects us, he disciplines us. If he doesn't, you better check out your salvation because you're probably not one of his. The seventh thing I want to give you about successful parenting today from our acrostic of the word success, and lastly is this, the last S in success, Spend time with your children. Spend time with your children. Let me tell you, if you've ever lost a child, I guarantee you any parents ever lost a child would do anything in all of life to spend one more day. One more day. There's no proverb here that speaks about spending time, but it's certainly inferred from everything that Solomon has taught us this morning. Let me tell you, parents, it takes time to teach your children. Did you realize the average middle-aged father today spends only about 37 seconds per day? 37 seconds per day with their child on average. How on earth could you ever impact and influence your child's life? I leave you with this study that was done. A study was done where they asked kids, if you ever found yourself in a position of trouble, or you ever found yourself in a position where you had to turn to someone, name them in the order of who you would go to first. Number one on the list, kids said, I would go to my friend. Kids said, number two, I'll turn to music. Kids said, thirdly, number three, I'll turn to television. Moms, you came in number 31. Dads, you came in number 48. What am I trying to say this morning? I believe that successful parents, it doesn't guarantee 100% whatsoever that your child won't go astray. But I can promise you, I believe those who follow these seven principles, these seven keys, these seven ingredients of raising and rearing your children, I believe you have by far the greatest chance of success with them than those who choose to be like the English estate garden and just let them go wherever they want to go, wherever they want to roam. I want to encourage you in the next Sundays that you be a part of this series of studies, because I think there's something here for all of us that we can be better than what we are at what God has called us to do. Parents, who will your child go to when they're in trouble? Mamas, don't be number 31 on the list. Dads, don't be number 48 on the list. Work, teach, instruct, encourage, enable, challenge, and be your child's best friend. Would you stand as we pray together?